Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All right, well, good morning, and again, welcome to Life Change, and as you saw in the video, make sure you do check out the Church Center app to stay up to date with everything that's going on, and then you can also check out, there's a handout in the seat back in front of you that has a lot of information as well. Well, I'm excited today as we are continuing our series that we've been in over the last several weeks. We're actually completing this series, but it's a series that we've entitled Like Jesus. And again, what we've been doing is we've been jumping through and looking at some of the characteristics, some of the attributes of who Jesus was and who he is. And we've been talking about how we can be like him. And really, that's our calling. If we call ourselves a follower of Christ, if we call ourselves a Christian, we're called to be like Jesus. And so today I'm going to end with a topic that is always fun. And so I'm going to talk about how we can forgive like Jesus, right? And this is actually the second time we've talked about this this year. And because forgiveness is one of those things that's it's so important, but it's sometimes hard. And sometimes it can go a little, just sometimes undone. So as we start this, I just want to ask you, how many of you guys have projects in your house that maybe are unfinished? Good. I was nervous that I was going to be the only person. Some of the husbands are looking at their wives, like, no, they're not. They're completely done, right? But the truth is, man, at the Huffman household, there's some things that are undone. And I think sometimes it's easy to start something and we can get all gung-ho, we can get all excited about something in the beginning, and then it can fizzle out. Like our excitement about that can just quickly drain for that. Like I remember a few years back, we replaced the flooring in our first level of our house. So we replaced all the flooring. It was a project that I did, and like I was rocking it. I'm talking like we had the old floor, which had like three different carpet tones going on. I had all that ripped up, had new subflooring, and I had the flooring all laid within like a week and a half to 2 weeks. Like, I was so proud of myself. I crushed that thing. I had it done. But guess what I didn't get done for a while? The trim, right? The trim, it was probably another year for the trim to be completed. And then on our stairwell, there's like a circle part of our stairwell that goes through there. It took me at least a year to get that, another year for that. And then a year after it was on there to even paint it and get it finished, right? There's some things we just left unfinished. And right, the Huffman House, again, we have multiple projects like that. Like, I'm going to sound a little like a mess. But we have our garage as well, and there's a lot of stuff unfinished in there. And actually, our garage is kind of a tension point in Sarah and I's marriage, so I figured I'd bring it up on Forgiveness Sunday. But so there's these things that, well, she calls them projects, and, well, I call them junk. Because she literally picks them up on the side of the road, or she gets them from some weird estate sale. Like, she will not pay any more than $3, so it's not like we're going broke on this. But we have a garage full of junk that's just unfinished. In fact, even this week, I was writing the sermon, and she had this new table that had kind of a leaf on it, and she's like, hey, I got that. You can use that. Maybe you could use that as a desk or something. I'm like, okay. I'm writing on it. The leaf's, like, bouncing and wobbly. I'm like, are you serious, right? Like, seriously? It was hanging on by this teeny little screw where it should have had like five in there. And so what happens? I finish it. Like, I fixed it. Because I think sometimes she just gets things, she'll put them out there and be like, oh, Corbin will fix it later. Right, I'm not going to finish it because it'll get fixed later. So we have a garage full of these things. We have a garage full of unfinished projects. All right, another one too. You guys are like, dude, you guys are a mess, right? You're going to give me three of these. But we have this two-tone cabinet in our bathroom as well. And like, I don't know why it was unfinished, but it's this two-tone. Sarah started it, and she's like, I'm just not going to stop. I'm just not going to finish it. All right, so she started it, and I'm like, dude, I'm holding strong on this one. I usually do finish things, but like this one is staying. I'm not backing down on this one. So we have this two-tone cabinet in our bathroom right now because Sarah started it, but she didn't finish it. They're still painting everything. I'm like, I don't know. Right? But that's what happens. Sometimes I think in life, we start something, we get excited about something, and then it fizzles out. Right? We do this with projects around the house. We do this with things around the house, but it also ties into our spiritual lives as well. It also ties into our relationships as well. And this is true particularly when it comes to forgiveness. I mean, think about it. We've probably started down this road of forgiveness before, and we left it undone. Right? We didn't finish the journey. Right? We left it unfinished. I mean, again, I'm talking about this for the second time this year. If you remember 2 months ago, Pastor Darrell from Vibrant Life, the church that's going to be planting in September, our very first church plant, he was here, and he preached about forgiveness. And he did a fantastic job. Like, people were excited. I heard great comments about it. Like, people were pushed about it. It got me, right? It was something I was working on. Like, it challenged me. It's something where it included me. But the real question is, how's it going? How's it going? Some of you guys are like, I knew I should have skipped today. See, chances are we started off strong. That first week, we're like, man, I'm going to make some strides. We're going to go ahead. We're going to do this. But chances are we started strong, but chances are maybe we haven't completed it. There's still things we left unfinished. And when it comes to forgiveness, I think sometimes this is how we start. We get excited at first. We know that, man, this is what God wants for us. We know that this is God's plan for us. And we continue on, but then it gets hard. Right? Then it gets kind of, we get bored with it. We kind of make it a project that's left unfinished, right? It becomes kind of like the proverbial trim of our life. Right? It becomes kind of like the unfinished projects in our garage, right? And what is it? They're really, when they're not finished, it's junk. And some of us, we have this junk in our relationships because we haven't finished. We haven't finished that forgiveness piece yet. For some of us, we're like my cabinet, this two-tone cabinet. We're like these two-tone Christians. And we're just going through some motions, but we haven't necessarily finished everything. And understand, this is not how Jesus wants us to forgive. This is not what he wants from us. And this is what he gave us an example of as well. Right? The truth is, Jesus calls us to forgive, and he calls us to forgive completely and continuously. Hey, Jesus calls us to forgive completely and continually. That's how we forgive like Jesus. He's calling us to finish the project, to keep going, to keep putting the work in the relationships, to keep putting the work in the spiritual growth, to keep growing. Right? Jesus calls us to forgive completely and continually. And if you look at it, this is what he modeled for us. Right? This is what he showed us. This is what he did for us. In fact, the whole gospel is this. It's the fact that Jesus came and he forgave us completely and continually. If you look at it, Jesus, he finished the work on the cross. He lived a perfect life because we've all messed up. Every single one of us in this room, we've made mistakes. We can't live up and we can't be the sacrifice that God wanted us. So we can't be that perfect sacrifice. So Jesus did it. He did it completely, lived his whole life and finished the work on the cross. And then he was risen again so we could be connected back with our Heavenly Father. Right? That's complete. And then he does it continually. Listen, every time we mess up, the cross is still enough. Every time we fail, the grave is still empty. Every time. Every time we make a bad decision, every time we make a mistake, Jesus is still there for us because he forgives us completely and continually. And he calls us to do the same. He calls us to do the same. This is how we forgive like Jesus. And we actually see him tell us this in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 22. So if you have your Bibles, go there with me. Again, if you don't have a Bible, we challenge you to get one. A great one is just to get one of the app, the Bible app. You can read the Bible every single day, put it on your phone, right? But in this passage of scripture, in Matthew chapter 18, here's Jesus. And he's spending time with his disciples. He's hanging out with them. At this point, his disciples had seen him do some incredible things. They'd been a part of his ministry. They'd seen him do healings. They'd seen him cast out demons. They'd heard some of his amazing teachings. In fact, they'd seen something which was known as the Transfiguration, where Jesus was lit up and he spoke to these Old Testament heroes, Moses and Elijah. So here's the disciples. They're seeing all this and they're all in. And they're trying to learn as much as possible from him. So they're asking him all these questions. Like, they're asking about heaven. They're asking about who's the greatest among heaven. And Jesus is explaining all these things to him. He's going through all these life issues. And he's going through even how to deal with mistakes, how to deal with sin, how to deal with these issues. And so it gets to this place where they ask about forgiveness because they know there's something to it. But they didn't know just how important it was. So check this out. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 22. It says this. It says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Right, let's dig into this and look at this, because I just want to clarify that Jesus isn't necessarily cared about your math skills or your number, right? He says 77 times, but he's actually just taking it to the next level. It depends what verse you look at. There's another verse that says 70 times seven. And so we could get out there and be like, man, that's cool. So 77 times, but on the 78th time, revenge and the wrath comes out, right? Or if it's 490 times, 70 times 7, 490, 491, done for, right? No, that's not what Jesus is saying. In fact, he's saying this. He's saying if you're counting, you're probably not in the process of forgiving. Right? Because there's so much more behind it. And Jesus is saying we need to forgive completely. We need to forgive completely. He takes it to this next level. What's crazy is, though, if you look at it, Peter probably thought he was doing pretty good. He's probably thought he's going to get an attaboy. Because he's like, Jesus, like, how many times do we forgive? 7 times? Kind of showing off a little bit. Because if you look at it, it was pretty much in tradition at that time, the rabbis and the teachers, that state that you really only had to forgive someone 3 times. It kind of makes sense for us. We got like the 3 strikes rule and you're out. This is what they were kind of going with. So here's Peter, and he's thinking like 7 times. Like, Jesus, I'm going to take your number. I'm going to take the normal number. I'm going to double it. I'm going to add 1, make it 7, because 7's kind of a holy number. It means some certain things, right? And in fact, it was, he thought he was going to impress him. Like, there's like the 7 I ams. There's the 7 days of creation, 7 terses, all these things. So Peter's thinking like, yeah, I got this. Right? I'm going to get an attaboy. But Jesus looks at him and says, no, 77 times. Right? When you think you're done, keep going. When you think it's enough, keep going. Right? Keep moving forward. Keep going through the process. Forgive until completion. Forgive continually. Finish the project. Finish the project and do it over and over and over again. And think about it. Forgiveness, there's always going to be that project, right? I said like 3 years ago that we replaced, maybe 4 years ago, it's probably 4 years ago, we replaced the flooring. Chances are I'm probably going to replace the flooring in that house some other time too. Right? I don't want to, but chances are, like, Sarah's going to be like, hey, this isn't cool anymore. Probably might be there now, but, right? And sometime I'm going to do it again. And there's times in our life where, man, we think we're done, but we're going to have to do it again. We're going to have to continue it. We're going to have to complete it. And this is what Jesus is saying 77 times. Keep going. Keep moving forward. Because this is what it looks like to forgive like Jesus. Right? Jesus calls us to forgive completely and continually. Problem with this is hard. Right? Forgiving completely, forgiving continually, like that's hard. Let alone just actually forgiveness in itself. Like forgiveness in itself is hard. Right? Sometimes it just feels better to hold a grudge. Right? Sometimes it just feels better to cling to that anger. The danger is, though, that the anger clings to us. But sometimes it feels good. Like, no, I am justified in this way that I feel, and I'm going to have myself a pity party, and I'm going to be angry, and I'm going to be mean, and it's going to work. How many know resentment doesn't work? Right? Unforgiveness doesn't work. Bitterness doesn't work. I mean, if you've been there before, you've seen it, right? Some of you are probably like, yeah, I've been holding on to that for a while. Like, I can't believe that person I'm mad at, like, it doesn't even hurt them. They don't even know I'm mad at them still. For some of us, this is what we hold this unforgiveness, thinking that we're getting back at this other person. Like, yeah, I'm sticking it to them. But really what it's doing, it's just causing us an ulcer. It's just causing us a panic attack. It's just causing us anxiety. And the other people don't even know that we're mad, don't even know that we're still hurt. Like, this is what unforgiveness, this is what bitterness does. It's like being in prison. It traps us. It keeps us captive, and it's torture for our spirits. It's torture for our souls. It's torture for our emotions, and it's not good. In the Old Testament, the book of Job says it this way. It says, resentment kills a fool. Resentment kills a fool. I don't know why I can't read that without thinking I pity a fool, right? Mr. T pitied the fool because they were resentful, right? But this is what happens. Unforgiveness and resentment, it's going to destroy us. It's going to destroy us, and it doesn't work. And I think too many times, though, I think we don't move forward with it because of some truths behind forgiveness. And if you look at it, I think it's hard for us to forgive because forgiveness takes energy. Right, think about it. It takes effort. You actually have to try to forgive. You have to be intentional with it. Right? It takes energy, and sometimes we just run out of energy. I mean, think about the projects around our house. Right? We get excited about them. We have energy like, oh, this is awesome. We get it to the point where it's just good enough and we can get away with it and say, yeah, that's cool. Nobody comes into the bathroom where it's 2-tone cabinet. So we're like, fine, it's fine, right? It's fine. It's good enough because we don't have the energy to finish it off. And so many times, this is what we do in our spiritual lives. This is what we do in our relationships. Right? We get to the point where we think it's just good enough, but we're not going to finish it because we don't have the energy to do it. Because the truth is, it's easier just to remain bitter. It's easier just to get bitter. But the truth is, it's going to hurt us in the long run. It's a dangerous place to be. Forgiveness takes energy. Forgiveness will always be more than we expect, though, too. Understand that. This is one reason why it's hard. It will always be more than you expect. Again, forgiving Jesus is complete and continuing. Means it's something that's going to have to keep going. And there's times where we think that we are like completely over this, and then we're going to see little glimpses like, oh, man, that's more than I want to do. Right? That's more than I want to dig into. Sometimes that grudge or even that unforgiveness, it'll come up and it'll even show some things that may be under the surface as well. When we choose to walk in the path of forgiveness, there's times where we're gonna have to unveil and we're gonna have to uncover some things that we actually should have dealt with that we've been hiding for years and years and years. Because when we forgive, what will happen is sometimes there's feelings that will come up that we've suppressed that we actually need to address. We're going to have to deal with some things. Forgiveness isn't always just surface level. It involves us looking deeper within us as well. And sometimes forgiveness involves some conversations that we don't really want to have. Again, I say this before, spiritual growth is kind of like peeling layers of an onion, right? You keep peeling different layers, and the more you go, the more you realize about yourself. This is the path of forgiveness. The more we realize and reveal about ourselves. Right, that conversation, that may lead to some feelings that we tried to push down. Those feelings may lead to some past trauma that we've been trying to hide. Right, in forgiveness, it may open the doors to some wounds and some experiences. And again, all this is more than we actually expect. And so many times, instead of actually dealing with these things, we're just like, oh, I'm done. Right? Tapping out, calling it, I'm done. Right? It's too much. Again, it's going to always be more than we initially think we're going to take on. Think about the projects of your house. Sarah's always like, hey, we can do this. I'm like, look at that, 7 steps. We're like, we can get that cabinet in there. It'll be fine. I'm like, yeah, but we have to remove that wall to get it in there. That'll be easy. And then there's a washer and dryer. Oh, well, we have to move all the plumbing. Oh, it'll be easy. It'll be fine. I'm like, no, listen, there's more to it than you know. And this is the same with forgiveness, right? We're going to go through it. There's actually more to it. There's more to it than we actually see on the surface. There's more to it than we know. And listen, that's a good thing. That's a good thing because God wants to deal with those things. But for many of us, this is why we don't move forward, because it's more than we expect. And we don't move forward, we get stuck in our relationships. We get stuck in our spiritual growth, right? Again, forgiveness is hard because of this reason. Another reason forgiveness is hard is because forgiveness will always trigger fear. Forgiveness will always trigger fear. It always hit us in a place where we're a little uncomfortable, where we're a little vulnerable. We fear things. We fear that doing this is going to let somebody off the hook. We fear that if we do this, we're going to do it the wrong way. And sometimes I think we fear we don't even know what the right way is. Right? Our two-tone cabinet, I actually get permission to tell crazy stories about Sarah and I. So just like a little pro tip there. Like, if you're going to tell a story about your wife, get this story okay beforehand. Right? 16 years of marriage, we celebrated on Friday. Getting smarter. But the reason our cabinet is unfinished upstairs, she said, hey, you know why it's not finished? I'm like, no, I have no clue. I know it bothers me. I just figured you're waiting for me to like finish it. She's like, well, to do the rest of it, I have to take off the doors and the hinges, I take off those. And like, I'm afraid if I put them back up, they're going to be crooked. To which my thought was, okay, crooked cabinet or two-tone cabinet? Which one's better, right? I don't know which one. I don't have the answer for that. I'm just saying. But sometimes we forget. We get so scared that we're going to do something wrong that we don't finish the project. And sometimes we do this with forgiveness, and we do it because we don't necessarily know what forgiveness is. Sometimes I think we have a misunderstanding of what forgiveness actually is. So I want to just give you a couple things that forgiveness is not, so that we don't have to fear it. Right? Forgiveness is not reducing the devastation of the event. Listen, if you're here today and you had an offense against you, and everybody in this room has. Listen, forgiveness is not reducing that offense. It's not reducing the seriousness of that. It's not minimizing it. It's not saying that it's not a big thing. Whatever you went through, or whatever tragedy you've experienced, whatever you've experienced, whatever the pain, whatever hurt that you've experienced, understand, it's real. It was real then, it's real now, and it's real even, and it's going to be real in the future. It's legit. Forgiveness is not reducing it by any means. And it's not even saying that it was okay. Right? It's not reducing it. It's not minimizing it. I understand that. Also understand this. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not forgetting. So I think sometimes we feel like, hey, we forgave. Everything's going to be fine. We forget. It's all there. No, forgiveness is not forgetting. There's some things that we may never forget. There's some things that we've gone through us. There's some things that have happened to us. There's some offenses that we've experienced that we will never forget. And understand this. It's okay. Those are part of our story now. That's the part of the story where God can say, I use this, what Satan meant for evil, I'm going to use it for good. It's part of your story. You're going to share it, and you're going to show how things can actually be redeemed through this, right? It still doesn't make it good. It's still not a great thing. It's hard, but the chances are God can use us to maybe help somebody else who's going through the same thing, right? He doesn't want us to forget it because it's part of our story. He doesn't want us to forget it because maybe God's going to use us to give a light and hope to somebody else that's going through it. Right? Forgiveness isn't forgetting. And then forgiveness is also, it's not trust. Right? Forgiveness is not trust. Right? There's some things that maybe have been done to you, maybe some offenses you've gone through, things that you've experienced that you may never ever trust that person again. There's some breaches of trust, there's abuse, maybe neglect, or maybe somebody had committed adultery on you, whatever. I mean, the list can go on and on and on. And there's some things where we don't step into that area and give them full trust in our lives again. Because it's not smart, it's not wise. Forgiveness isn't trust. And forgiveness isn't trust. I think so many times, I think we think that these forgiveness are these things, and we fear these things because we fear that if we do all these, then we have to allow these people back into our lives. We're allowing ourselves to get hurt again. And so what do? We just quit. We stop the path of forgiveness. We become bitter. We hang on to offenses. We keep score. We keep track of all these things. And it ends up hurting us more than it hurts the others. Here's what I want you to understand. Forgiveness is less about anyone else and it's always more about you. Forgiveness is about you. God calls us to forgive like Jesus because he loves us and he wants to experience the freedom that comes from forgiveness. Right? It's not about the person who offended us. It's not about the person who hurt us. It's about you. It's about you. God's asking us to forgive so that we can be healed. He's asking us to forgive so that we can be set free. That's what forgiveness does. Right? Here's the thing about forgiveness. It won't change the past, but it can definitely change your future. When we forgive like Jesus, when we forgive completely, and when we can forgive continually, man, our future and our calling is so much greater. God wants us to experience this. Here's what I know. The calling ahead of you is greater than the offense behind you. The calling ahead of you is greater than the offense behind you. This is why forgiveness is so important. And listen, I'm just going to be honest. Like, there's some things I'm trying to deal with as far as forgiveness. Like, I'm going through. This is a process that I've learned myself. This is a process that I'm still in. Like, I preach into myself. I preach to myself every single Sunday. But I also know this is something that I've experienced as well. Right? Life Change Church would not exist if I didn't live out some forgiveness in my life. Right? So I was a youth pastor for 2 years when I first got out of college. And I experienced some church hurt. I look back at it. I was naive. I was like 25 years old. I should have known some things that I didn't know, whatever. And so I just kind of whatever, right? But I blame this leader in my life. And I remember walking away from ministry, like saying, like, I'm done, right? I was 25 years old, 24 years old, walking away from ministry. I'm like, this is awful. I'm 24 years old, like 4 years of college for ministry felt like an eternity. Now I'm like, that was a blink of an eye. But I'm looking, I'm like, I wasted 4 years of my life. I went to college for this stuff and I'm out of ministry. I'm selling ice cream now because that's what I did. Right? And so I just thought, I'm like, this is awful. Like, I was so mad. I was so frustrated. I was so bitter. I was so angry. Like, and I was done. And I remember there were some people in my life that came to me and they're like, hey, you're okay. I think you're still saved, but barely. They're like, hey, I think you need to read this book. And they gave me this book called The Bait of Satan, which talked about forgiveness. Man, the moment I read through that book, I felt God tugging my heart to forgive. And I'm telling you, life change would not exist if I didn't act on forgiveness. This was even before Sarah. Sarah and I's marriage would not be what it is if I didn't know how to forgive. I couldn't... Fathering the kids, right? I wouldn't be the dad I am without forgiveness. The calling on the other side is so much greater than the offense. And it's true for each and every one of us. It's true for all of us. Right? And God's calling us to forgive us because he knows that the calling is so much more. He doesn't want us to cling to that, but he wants us to run to what he has for us. This is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. He said it this way in 2 Corinthians 2, 10 through 11. He says, anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I've forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us. For we are not unaware of his schemes. Right? Our forgiveness helps us live above what Satan's trying to attack. Our forgiveness and how we forgive, if we forgive like Jesus, it allows us to live above what Satan is trying to do in our lives. It's freedom. Right? That's the good news. That's the gospel. Right? The gospel is more than just receiving forgiveness, but it's us giving forgiveness as well. Right? The gospel says that forgiveness flows to us, but it also flows through us. And that's what we're called to do, forgive like Jesus. I don't challenge you to forgive like Jesus. If you look at Jesus, he gave second chances. He gave mercy. He gave grace. He gave forgiveness. And he calls us to do the same thing. Right, Jesus calls us to forgive completely and continually. So let's look at this. Number one, again, let's forgive completely. This means we forgive totally. We forgive to the greatest extent. We forgive and we actually finish the project in our relationships. Right, we finish the project. We go and continue on. We move to the place where it's completely done. If we have a grudge, we're going to address it right away. If it comes back, we're going to address it again because we're going to forgive completely. And to forgive completely, I want you to understand, you can't do it yourself. You need God's help. So to forgive completely means every single day you're going to have to ask God, help me forgive. God, help me deal with this issue. God, help me deal with this resentment. Help me deal with this bitterness. Ask his help, and he's going to take it to completion. All right, Philippians 1:6 says that he who began a good work in you will carry it out onto completion to the day of Christ Jesus. We need his help, and he's there to help us. Before Jesus left this earth, he promised us the Holy Spirit. He promised us the Holy Spirit would be there for us. He'd be our comforter. He'd be our guide. He'd be our encourager. He'd be our director. He would help us. He would take us and he would give us the energy that we need to complete things unto completion. Right? Forgive unto completion. And to do that means we need his help. And then number two, forgive continually. Again, this is regularly. This is frequently. Right? We could take this further and say forgive continuously, which means we forgive without ceasing. Right? It's a way of life. It's a way of life. Forgiveness is a way of life, which means this. It means that we are continually digging deeper. We're continually digging deeper into things that we're going through, the things that we're struggling, the offenses and the things that we're holding on to. Right? Forgive continually, which means sometimes we need to take on the project that seems bigger than what we really want to. Right? There's some relationships like, I'm not there. I don't want to do it. If we're going to forgive continually, we need to be like, yeah, I'm going to do it. Because our God is bigger than those projects. Here's what I know. The more that you're scared of, the more that you don't want to do, the more that you're fearful, like the more that that makes us want to quit, God can handle the more. Right? He can handle the more. So don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid to fail either. Right? Where you fear, what you fear is what God's in control of. I think so many times we let fear just rule us. And I think we let it rule us in our relationships. But what you fear, God is in control of. Right? So understand that so we can forgive continually, which means this, forgiveness is a discipline. If you're gonna forgive continually, you have to understand forgiveness is a discipline. Again, if you remember, we started off, we talked about in this series, we talked about how to pray like Jesus. Right? And we went through and we talked about the Lord's Prayer. And it says, forgive us our debts, forgive us our trespasses as we do what? Forgive our debtors. Forgive our trespassers. Forgive those who sinned against us. Here's Jesus, even in his prayer, he's saying, you know what? Forgiveness is a discipline. It's something we have to do continuously. It's something we have to do continually. Right? So forgive like Jesus. Jesus calls us to forgive completely and continually. And if you look at this is what he did for us. He did this for us. He forgave us completely and continually. Again, in the moment right before the cross, Jesus went to the cross, died for us. And in the moment right before his death on the cross, this is what he said. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. That's forgiving completely and continually. Here's Jesus, lived a perfect life, went to the cross, right, and he finished the work. He could have bowed out and said, no, I'm done. T- tapping out. I'm tapping out, God. I'm done. No, he finished the work. And while he's finishing the work, he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Think about this. Think about how he says this to each and every one of us. Think about the context of how he even said this to the people at that time period. Here he is, and he's talking to the people who had mocked him. He's talking to the people who had beaten him. He's talking to the people who had sold him out. And he's saying, Father, forgive them. Right? This is some next level stuff. This is some next level forgiveness. This is forgiving completely and continually. In fact, if you look at it, during the time of Jesus' crucifixion, right, crucifixions were normal. People would get crucified a lot of times for anything. Right? And the people who were getting crucified, they would never forgive others. In fact, they would often shout blasphemous words. They'd often shout curses to the crowd. If you look at it, history even showed that people actually had their tongues cut off because of some of the things that they were saying to the crowd. But here's Jesus, and it's the opposite. He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. This is what he does for each and every one of us. This is what he does for each and every one of us. To give us an example of forgiveness and to lead us to salvation. So my challenge for you today is to forgive like Jesus. And it starts by receiving his forgiveness. So if you're here today, I want to give you the opportunity to start just by receiving his forgiveness. Maybe you're here today, maybe you've never received it. Maybe you walked in this church and you're thinking like, oh my goodness, I'm coming into church. Lightning is going to strike down. All right. Understand his forgiveness is big enough. Right? The work is complete. The work on the cross is enough. It's complete and it's continuing. He's waiting for you to say, Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. If you're here today, maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've never made that choice. I want to give you the opportunity. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to give you the opportunity to say, Father, forgive me. If you're here today and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, you've never said, Jesus, I want your forgiveness. With everybody's eyes closed and heads bowed, just quickly raise your hand and I want to pray for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, we thank you that you gave us the incredible example of forgiveness through your son, Jesus. Through him dying on a cross and being resurrected for us. And God, we thank you right now for the hands that are raised, God, saying that they want to receive that forgiveness. They want to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, God. And I pray that they will forever be changed because of it. God, I pray that because of that, God, they'll work and they'll move in forgiveness in their life as well. And they'll forgive like you. God, I pray for all of us today, God, that are here today, that maybe have gone down the process and the path of forgiveness and maybe gone down the process and the path of that spiritual growth, but we've left it unfinished. And today we're taking a step to complete it. God, I pray that we can forgive completely and continually just like you. And God, help us. Help us in each step. We love you and we thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. If you would take out the connection card in the seat back in front of you. Again, if you made a decision for Jesus, if you accepted that forgiveness, we want to know. And you can see that on that first box says, I made a decision to follow Jesus. We want to know. Check mark that box. And then also, maybe God's just asking you to do something. Listen, I pray over these each Tuesday. This is our way to track. This is my way to journey with you. And so if you're going through something, let us know. There's a place for prayer requests. If God's asking you to forgive in a certain way, listen, I want to be praying for you as you walk through that journey. So this is your time to fill that out. This is also your time to get any tithes or offerings ready or any go time commitments ready as well. If you would do that in this time, and then Adam will be up to explain the next steps.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. And let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.